a lot of the conversation on air this week across Cape Talk is about vaccinations and whether or not they should be made mandatory. As you heard before Eyewitness News headlines at 9:30, we had FEDUSA and we had COSATU on air saying that they will oppose any attempt by employers, whether in the private or public sector, to make vaccinations for COVID-19 compulsory. At the same time, they're saying, but we are encouraging people to go get vax. So how do you do that? Is the carrot method the best way, or is it the stick method? Do you punish or do you incentivize people to get a vaccination? Around the world, we've seen countries, private institutions trying to dangle a carrot to get people vaccinated. In New York, when they were still in the start of their vaccination program, you could get your vaccination and get a voucher for a cheeseburger and fries. Wimpy this week announced here in South Africa, if you show us your vaccination card and you got your vaccination this week, we're offering you a free cup of coffee to show in congratulations to you. Raffles and giveaways. What is the best way to convince people? Not necessarily to bend them, but to convince them. Rather get vaccinated. Professor Mark Tomlinson is a psychologist, also the co-director of the Institute for Life Course Health Research at Stellenbosch University. Probably one of the best incentives, or the best advertisements for vaccination, Mark, was a French advert which showed essentially shutters of restaurants, cafes, concerts going up, people returning to a normal life after being vaccinated. Surely that is the best way to show people. It's the best incentive to say, if you get vaccinated, we are closer to what we consider to be normal life as possible. Mark?
Thanks, Lester. So I would agree in much of what you've said. We know from lots of work around behavior change that punishment, sort of ordering people to do things, tends not to work. And it tends not to work in certain places. Well, in other places, it kind of works. So it works quite well. So if you're in the United States, and South Africa is probably a similar example, we tend to be a bit of an anarchic bunch. We don't like people telling us what to do. So to some extent, I think you're right. Ordering people to take vaccines is going to cause a lot of consternation and a lot of pushback to lots of people. And it's, in our case, probably not the best approach. And that the approaches like you've been, suggesting in your intro around incentives to do it, around building trust, for example, with people. But the problem we have right now is I think we're all struggling with a little bit of issues with trust. Certainly, I was listening to, the advert around the midday show and around, our sort of suspended Minister of Health. We're struggling with issues of trust right now. So the best way you have, if you're not going to use the stick method, is to get people on your side, to trust government, to trust the scientists, to trust what we actually do know about the safety of vaccines and their efficacy. But we're in a bit of short supply of that right now.
Let's go down that route. How does then the trust, when it comes to political trust of people in their politicians, and we'll use William Kesey as health minister and the Digital Vibes communication scandal. We can very much argue that the communication scandal directly linked to misinformation or the not effective communication, down from a public health point of view. But in terms of does political trust go hand in hand with people's trust in the science?
I think very often they're very linked because, so for example, if one thinks of South Africa's history, and yes, we've had a democratically elected government from 1994, but the reality is that trust in institutions, trust in even in the health system to some extent is not magically shifted through a democratic election. People have long memories. They remember what their grandparents said to them. Their communities in the Western Cape, as everyone on this call knows, where absolutely appalling things happened, where people were moved, out of their homes miles away, and then they're told that that they must trust the authorities. That you know, and I think there's the trust is actually part of the problem we have right now. Is it's trust isn't something you just build up overnight. You build it up over a long period of time. And I think there's very, very legitimate reasons for people to have mistrust anyway. And the only way you build that is through sort of consistency, being open, being as honest as you're able about what we know, what we don't know, and saying when we don't know something, being clear. People are not stupid. People do know. And I think what's happened at the moment, and partly, and I'm not some kind of old Luddite to sort of, you know, think social media is the problem for everything, but we have become polarized in the extent to which where we get our information from. And we haven't been very good, as myself as a scientist, in telling people about what science can and can't do, what it knows now, what it's not sure about. And what we've ended up, because of this polarization, is we lump people into categories. If you have a concern about the vaccine, you are immediately an ideologically based sort of lunatic fringe anti-vaxxer.
That's very true.
When in fact, of course, there's some of those, but in fact, there's also lots of other people who're scared, who, because of equity issues, can't get access to the vaccine.
So at the end of the day, calling people names doesn't change their mind.
It'll never change anyone's mind. I think one of the approaches always try, and that's a bit of a cliche, but try and put yourself in someone's shoes. If anyone ever called you a name, did you go away and think, that was really rude, but maybe they're right? You don't. You kind of push back. And often that name calling, in the United States right now, the anti-vaxxers, there's a term that many people don't know, sort of people in New York would talk about, flying over the middle, that middle part where it's all the stupid people, the hicks, all those terrible terms that people, and you do that for 30 years, and then suddenly you want to say, well, now, but trust us now, and I'm like, it's hard, so we have to do something. And I think part of the solution, because in South Africa we do struggle with trust, is we have to appeal to the better angels of our nature, that when I'm vaccinated and I still wear a mask, like routinely everywhere as much as I'm able. And you know why I'm doing that largely? At this point, I don't have any comorbidities. I'm vaccinated and I'm healthy, but I do it for other people. I'm doing it as an act of altruism for my community. I do not want to infect anybody else. And I'm not doing it for, as William Keyes, I'm doing it for the people I love and the people that I don't know, that I know that I would like if I knew them in the broader society of South Africa. And that's something of that. And we do still have that in South Africa around community and that. And just, it's not just about you. Do it for your community.
I think this speaks to our generalized and people's generalized mistrust in authority figures. People want me to believe, and I can forward you several messages in our WhatsApp line saying a friend of mine told me someone died, or my friend's sister passed away after getting the vaccine. No attribution, no source, nothing. But they want me to believe that. But when you say, oh, here's a News 24 article with a Roetskier doctor saying they have not seen a vaccinated patient in ICU. Credible medical source there. They won't believe that, but they will believe my sister's brother's auntie said. What is it in the human brain that makes us believe? Is it storytelling? Is it narrative? Is it we would rather believe something that is maybe closer to us, more in touch with us, than believe the medical doctor?
Yeah, I mean, Lister, there's tons to think about in that. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think we do love stories. Human beings are storytellers. We tell stories about our past. We tell them about our present. We tell stories. And we somehow believe that we kind of know that, the classic case of what you're saying around when my brother, sister's cousin or whatever, people have personal experience of it. So if you take it out of the pandemic and you think about people are sick, they've got flu or they've got a cold, right? And they've tried this, they've tried that, it doesn't work. And then they go and see someone who tells them to, gaze at a crystal. They gaze at the crystal, and the next day they feel better, and they go, wow. Now, what they've done is they've causally attributed them getting better to looking at it the day before. But the reality is very often what happens in the terms of the course of the illness, they tried a lot of things that hadn't worked, and they were actually getting better anyway. And if they'd done nothing, they would have been better the next morning. But they now go, oh, I'll look at that. And I think, and the reality is, I would say to people, when you see that critical care doctor telling you that, you know, I would listen to that personally. But I would say to people, go as well. Go and find out, is there another critical care doctor? What about, so can I go and search and find some doctors from Baragwanath? Let me, you know, part of it is about what we tend to do is we believe the auntie's second cousin. We see something on Facebook. We believe that is true. I mean, the classic case at the moment is this quack, you know, fool from, I think he's based in the US, who says he invented the mRNA vaccine. It's rubbish. Now, if you do any investigation and you take good further down, you will be able to find that. But it looks very convincing. And what often happens with these stories is we have a frame that we look at the world in. And when we see information that fits the frame, we say, okay, that's true. And if it doesn't fit our frame, and this is not true for only for anti-vaxxers or for people who believe in vaccines, all of us do this.
Yeah.
And then we're more likely to believe things that support what we already believe.
Yeah.
And the only answer is to sort of keep looking, searching, going to different sources, you know, and not just your auntie's cousin. Mm.
Is it because we feel that we've lost control? We've lost control of our own narrative, our own control of our own lives, whether it be times of pandemic or whether it be in times of very bad politics in a globalized world of what happens in the Suez Canal affects what happens to me here in Cape Town, South Africa. Broadly, we've lost control of many of the big decisions that affect our lives.
I mean, I think that's spot on. I mean, two things maybe to say about that. One is that there's, for this, the very complexity of this, no one explanation is going to explain it. It is so complicated. So that's the first thing. So of course, we have this globalized world, and so these things happening elsewhere affect us. But the reality is, it's always been to some extent that our sense of, I mean, if you think about the reality of our lives, is that it's possible that both you and I tomorrow morning will drop dead. It's unlikely, but it's possible. It is mind-boggling to think about that. And so the idea that we could get hit by a bolt of lightning, or, you know, be walking down the road and a window falls out and cuts our heads off and we're dead is too much to bear. And so we, I think, find solace in a sense of control. But it is mostly illusory. We don't. Mm. You know, right now, we are in the most terrible pandemic. But in some ways, we're actually quite lucky because we have a highly, highly transmissible virus, but actually with quite a low mortality rate, unless you elderly with poor mobility and all the things that we know about. Had we had a virus with the transmissibility of COVID and the mortality rate of Ebola, you know, where 40 to 70% of people who get it die, we'd have a very different scenario right now. And I suspect in that context, if we had a vaccine, we would probably have no vaccine hesitancy because everybody would know lots and lots of people who had died. And so in some ways we've been spared a much, much worse pandemic. But I think you spot on. I mean, I think so much of our sense of control in the world is illusory, and people are genuinely, for very good reason, afraid. And when you're afraid, you want to go and, you know, latch onto things that seem certain, that seem clear, as opposed to that it's just very complicated and we don't know where this is going.
Professor Mark Tomlinson, psychologist, also co-director of the Institute for Life Course Research at Stellenbosch University. Thank you so much for this conversation.